And when we feel crushed because of the guilt of our own sin, and we wonder if God has abandoned us and the world mocks us, we can still say with the psalmist, even as deep calls to deep and we feel the overwhelming sorrows and we drink our tears, we say, "Why are you downcast, my soul? I remember the times when I gathered with the festival throng, whether it was a Christmas celebration or Easter festival. I gathered in God's house. And there as I gathered, I knew with that festival throng that God is my hope and my strength."
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. March 29, 2024, Psalm 42.
The human being has limitations with how long they can survive. It's said that you can probably go maybe 40 days, most people, without food before you might perish from starvation. And if you want to go without a pie, for me it's maybe about 7 days, but 40 days. And then if you're trying to survive because of water, people can, depending on the conditions, perish within hours of not getting enough water. And then if it's cold out, you can get hypothermia within minutes. And of course, most of us probably can't go without air for longer than a minute or two. What about God's word? How long can we survive without that? How long can we bear to be separate or apart from it? Well, today we consider what the psalmist, the sons of Korah, say in Psalm 42. And we once again see what makes our religion, the Christian faith, unlike any other, as God quenches our thirst. The psalm begins, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" We don't know when and who wrote this psalm necessarily, but it appears that they were separate from God's house. And you see how they long, like a deer thirsting for the streams of water, to just be at the place they can be quenched and they can have the word of God and be in God's house. When what we read on, it sounds like they were probably in northern Israel. Maybe it was a priest or a Levite accustomed to worship in God's house, and they're missing the time in worship. You know, God's people need to gather for worship. We maybe don't understand fully what it was like in the Old Testament, but the temple was their center of worship. That's where the chief sacrifices and the greatest festivals all were focused and took place. And so you can imagine this believer in the Old Testament just yearning to gather with God's people. As he's living far away from God's word, he says, "My soul thirsts for the living God." You know, there's a cause for his thirst too. He says, "My tears have been my food day and night." So yeah, he's maybe getting something to drink, but it's his own tears. "And the people say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?'" So not only does he have this constant yearning to be in God's house, he has this constant torment from the people around him saying, "Well, where is your God?" as they mock him and ridicule him for his longing to be with God's people. What's the solution? "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God, under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng." When the believer is yearning for spiritual food and spiritual water, this is what gives life. He remembers the times when he gathered, it says, with the festival throng, when he gathered with God's people. That was his encouragement. So he says to himself, "Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." With the constant yearning and the constant thirst goes a constant prayer under the constant torment, but then this remains constant. "My soul, don't be downcast." The word literally here means thrown down or weighed down, like we might be when we're parched and tired. "My soul, why are you so depressed? Put your hope in God. You will yet praise him. He's your Savior and your God." The psalm continues, "My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. Your breakers have swept over me. The picture is this overwhelming sorrow just coming upon this believer. And so he calls out to God as he's in the land of Jordan on the heights of Hermon. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Constant prayer in constant strife with constant yearning for God's word. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony. My foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you so downcast? He concludes, why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. Isn't this not just the psalm of a believer living long ago, perhaps 3,000 years ago, longing to be in the temple worship and with God's people? But isn't this also the cry of all of God's people? We live in a place parched and thirsty. And yes, there are places you can go, many other so-called religions in this world, which will claim to satisfy that thirst. But those sources of water are really traps. Maybe you've seen in those documentaries where there's just a drought going on in a place like Africa, and there's a little water hole, and all the animals know that they can get their water at that water hole, but there's a problem. The lions also gather at that water hole. And within that water hole is something deadly that will spring out with great big teeth and pull you underwater and devour you. That's what the religions of this world are like. They look like something enticing to us as we lived in a world under the curse of sin. And as people around us mock, where is your source of water? I've got mine right here. They go to their death as they turn to these other sources. But the believer, knowing what we have in our God, can turn to him, long for him, yearn for him. And not only that, yearn to gather with God's people in his house. And when we feel crushed because of the guilt of our own sin, and we wonder if God has abandoned us and the world mocks us, we can still say with the psalmist, even as deep calls to deep and we feel the overwhelming sorrows and we drink our tears, we say, why are you downcast, my soul? I remember the times when I gathered with the festival throng, whether it was a Christmas celebration or Easter festival. I gathered in God's house. And there as I gathered, I knew with that festival throng that God is my hope and my strength. Well, we know that we can say that with the psalmist, because there was a man who repeated these very same words. And he longed for water. The Son of God became just like us. And he would ask that woman at the well, could you get me some water to drink? As true man, he thirsted. And when he went down his path that was destined for him, he cried out to the Father that the cup of suffering would be taken away, but he had to drink that cup. And then we will read later tonight, on the cross, with parched lips, as the psalmist says, my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth, he managed to say the words, I thirst. You have to wonder, does John record that simply because he wants us to know this Son of God on the cross was thirsting for mere water? Or can't we also see in that an echo of the psalmist, I thirst for the living God, as the Son was forsaken by the Father in the place of sinners? And yet, what did he do on the cross? Much like this psalmist, he said, why are you downcast? I remember the festive throng. I remember when I marched into the city with the palm branches and the crowds. I remember the promises of God for his people, that the Messiah will not fail. And the Messiah did not fail. Even after he cried out, I thirst, he put his hope in the Father. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. For yet I will praise you. It does not end in death for his story, and it will not end in death for your story. Even as at times you have the world saying, where is your God? Come drink this water. You can say, I have a religion like no other, one which fully quenches my thirst. Forgiveness won by the perfect Son of God, who died in my place and who did not fail, but continued to put his confidence in the one who would save him from death. And your God, through his Son Jesus, promises you will join that festive throng, not just here and on Easter Sunday, but with all of God's kingdom, with every believer brought to have their thirst forever satisfied by the living waters. Why are you downcast? When troubles come, remember with constant prayer how he satisfies your thirst and how the Lord himself is your perfect, holy source of eternal life. Amen.
Saying, he relies on the Lord.